Hello and welcome to Live Well Lifestyle Teleseminar with Perry A. And happy Valentine's Day. Will you be mine? I'm looking for Valentine's today and I pick you. So I hope you pick me back. Thank you for joining us today. This is a lifestyle seminar where we look at our lifestyles and how they're influencing our health. As we know, stress and depression and things like that can really do a number on our health, and there's not exactly a pill for that. There's a camouflage for it. But, you know, when you put something in the light and shine the light on it, the shadow goes away. So we want to sort of put a light on our thoughts, our thinking, our fears, and cast the shadows away and find the truth that's in there. Today, our topic is Be a Child Again. I ran across a poem from Hafez, and it so reminded me to be a child again. And when your child, you know, children, they're not worried about income. They're not worried about all the little details of earth, and they don't have all the responsibilities in there. They have this childlike innocence, this playfulness. They want to draw outside the lines. They want to mix unusual colors. There's no limitations in their world. I thought if we could be a little more childlike, that it would help lift our spirits. This is For No Reason. And for no reason, I started skipping like a child. And for no reason, I turned into a leaf that's carried so high, I kissed the sun's mouth and dissolved. And for no reason, 1,000 birds choose my head for a conference table, start passing their cups of wine and their wild song books all around. And for every reason in existence, I began to eternally and eternally laugh and love. When I turn into a leaf and start to dance, I run to kiss our beautiful friend, and I dissolve in the truth that I am. Hafez. I love that poem, and let's all go back and try to remember some times from our childhood when we were carefree, worry-free. And do you remember the things you did for fun? What were some of the things you did? I remember we would lay in the grass and look up at the sky and try to pick out faces and animals and shapes that meant something to us. And sometimes we'd sit there and we'd think, you know, if we send love to a cloud, you can break it apart. And I think the cloud probably would have broken apart anyway, but we really believed that if we sat there and looked at that piece of cloud and we'd catch a little piece on the end and we'd just send a lot of love to that cloud, it would kind of break up. And it did. And we felt quite powerful as children that we could break up a cloud. I have no doubt clouds change shape all day long, and it may have been something scientific and not our sending love, but the thought is what counts. And it made us feel good. Just to do silly things and to have fun. I watch children. I have a grandson, and he is a joy to me. And he likes to color. He likes to make his own shapes now. But when he was little, he didn't care about lines, and he didn't care about colors. And his paintings, his pictures may not have fit the norm, but it's from a child's eye and a child's point of view, so what can be wrong with that? As you know, we have a Live Well Lifestyle intention for this seminar, and it's to open our awareness to how we support our well-being from loving thoughts about our body's ability to heal and return to balance, to substitute positive thoughts for negative ones, to open the door to self-healing, to release anger, regrets, judgments, and resentments, to forgive and move on, to learn about living a peaceful, healthy, and productive lifestyle. And I changed our daily affirmation for today. Every day and every way, I find more to laugh about, more to be grateful for, more reasons to love life, more opportunities to see through the eyes and the hearts of children, more to discover, more to learn, more ways to be of service, and more joy. Don't you find being of service joyful? I don't really go out and buy people candy for Valentine's because all of us are trying to watch our weight and our teeth and good health. So last night I made some carrot, raisin, banana, walnut, almond flour muffins with honey. So they were very healthy. A little muffin is very heavy. It's not light. It doesn't have a lot of baking soda and baking powder to fluff it up. But they're just delicious, and they're healthy. And that's what I'm giving today for Valentine's gifts. I have 6 to take to my office for the staff there. And I'm taking a bunch of my grandsons in a baseball little league, and all the coaches there, staff at the building called the Power Hour. I made 12 muffins to take up with them, and I'm asking those good-looking, hunkish athletes to be my Valentine for a day. And hugs accepted. And, you know, my 74 years of living have taught me that the best way to get a Valentine is through his stomach. So I joyfully made those muffins, and today I've been giving muffins to people. And I think they're very well received, and I certainly had so much fun from doing it. I wish I had made more. And maybe next year I'll make a double batch. But how do we feed our soul? We all know happiness is the best medicine, and there are numerous books written about how Norman Cousins healed his cancer and gave himself many more extra years of life from watching funny videos and letting go of stress and just getting his mind off of the cancer and on to laughing and living in the moment, to be in the moment and to live in the moment. So in that respect, what's holding you back? Our feeding your soul exercise, who or what is holding you back? What do you need to let go of to be truly happy? Think about those questions and ponder them. Now, I have all this written out on a sheet, and Cheryl will send you the information of where it is, and you can go open it, and you can have the poem, the daily affirmation, and see these questions again so you don't have to write them down now. Who or what is holding you back? What belief, what person, what situation? What do you need to let go of to be truly happy? What is keeping you from happiness? What can you change in your life to be truly happy? Think about those things and write your answers on a piece of paper and have a bowl-burning release party. Put these angry thoughts and these things and these past judgments in the bowl on little pieces of paper and in a safe place. Burn them and release them. Let them go. Set yourself free. My intention for today is my dominant intention to love myself so fully that I glow with joy. My light shines so bright that it touches others and brightens their day. How to just love yourself so much that people can't resist loving you. You know, the first step to being loved is to love yourself. And if you can love yourself so fully and completely, you know, the little girl that plays on Mike and Molly that's come under criticism because some jerk criticized her weight. And she's, you know, she's very content, very active, does a lot. It hasn't held her back. So why should we judge her and think she should be skinny just because she's a movie star and an actress? She is so in love with herself, she doesn't let herself thoughts about that she should be something else get in the way of other people knowing and loving her. When you judge yourself and you beat yourself up, there's not much there that's worth loving, is there? If you can't love yourself, how can you expect us to love you? So learn to love yourself, to be that child again. I don't have many stories today, so I'm kind of rattling here. I'm going to go to the website and look and see if we have, I don't know how many people we have on the line. It is Valentine's Day. We may have a small group today. I'm going to see if anybody has any questions. This is a Q&A period, and hopefully somebody is there with a question about Clay or about life. I would love it if it were about life in general. Laura from Wilmore. Where do you get this recipe for your special muffins? I will post the recipe. It is, you use red meal almond flour. It's actually almond meal, and it takes 4.5 cups. That's what I could do, share the recipe. And I will write it out with the other things I have, and I should have it here. Let me go over to my Microsoft and see if I can find the recipe here. Here it is, banana carrot almond muffins. 1/2 cup of butter, 3/4 cups of honey, 3 eggs beaten, 2 teaspoons of vanilla, 2 teaspoons of cinnamon, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 2 cups of grated carrots, 2 ripe bananas, 4.5 cups of almond flour, 1 cup of walnut pieces, and 1/2 cup of raisins. So you mix all those together and you bake them, you put them in muffin cups. It says 3/4 full. I found you could fill them pretty full. They don't rise a whole lot. They're very dense and very heavy. And you bake them at 310 degrees for 25 to 30 minutes. They're extremely moist. They fall apart easily. You kind of have to let them cool, and then, you know, I didn't use the paper muffin cups, so I didn't have any, so I took my knife and went around the muffin and barely lifted it up and set it on a cookie sheet to cool. They're very moist. They are delicious. They're not real syrupy sweet. And very healthy. I don't know how many calories. I imagine it does have its share of calories, even though it's not using sugar in the things of that nature. But I will add this to my list today and post this recipe for you. And thank you for asking. I've had so much fun being the muffin lady today. And I hope you will enjoy that. Thank you for asking for that, Laurel. I appreciate that. All right, let's see if we have any other questions coming in. Oh, it looks like that's the only one. You know, I never know what I'm going to say that will trigger something in someone. So it's refreshing to know that the least expected thing that I said was something someone latched onto. We just don't know. Well, I'm halfway through the program and sort of out of things to talk about. So let's look at our childhood when we were younger and think of a time when we were really, really happy. We had no fears and concerns. It's before you got old enough that kids picked on you and things like that. When life was new and everything was about exploring. I'm talking about little children, tiny children, toddlers. Toddlers are wonderful to watch. They're so inquisitive and they're learning words and they look up at the sky and they see a star and they said, look, flowers in the sky. Just, they learn to think of words to express themselves that are beyond our imagination because they don't know the correct thing, but we definitely get it. My son is starting to write little essay papers and his spelling is atrocious, but you can always tell what he was trying to say. And it's so funny, the words he chooses and how he does that. I wish I had brought one to read to you today. That would have been perfect. But you definitely get the message. And the things that children say to write about, it's amazing what they latch on to and what's important to them. So being a child again, watching little children just at play. And they do get defensive. They want all the toys for themselves. We have to teach them. And part of teaching them is, you know, loving someone doesn't mean you have to give them everything and spoil them. Loving is a whole lot different. Loving can be drawing boundary lines, respecting yourself, teaching them to respect themselves and others is a very important part of self-love. And most of us get in trouble because we don't have boundaries for ourselves or for others, and then we get taken advantage of and we feel like a victim when in fact we didn't say, stop, wait, hold on a minute, I'm not going to go there, or wait a minute, you're in my house and you're raising your voice and you're screaming. I don't want that energy in my house. Would you please leave until you can calm down and come back later? You know, there are just a ton of ways to honor yourself and respect yourself and your needs. Doing things for others when we really don't have time and don't want to. When you find you're doing something for someone you don't want to do and you're not being honest about it and say, you know, I really don't want to do this. I have no reason. It's not ringing excitement for me. And I'm going to choose to say no because I know the perfect person out there that wants to do this for you is still waiting. Now then, when you do something that you don't want to do, do you do it wholeheartedly? Do you do it with all your energy? Do you do it with love? Or you do it with resentment and you kind of drag through it and you put just half effort in it because you feel like you have to do it because you really like them, but you don't want to be doing it, and you have this little inner war going on? And what's this do to your body? It causes stress. Your acidity builds up. This is a predecessor for illness right there, something as little as that. So learning to set boundaries. And, you know, we don't come with a manual that teaches us how to do this. If we don't have an adult that taught us to have schedules and have boundaries, it makes it hard on you when you grow up. You don't know you have the right. I remember when I was young, I went to a movie with my mother, and my mother smoked, and she would always get up and go out halfway through the movie and smoke a cigarette. Well, we were sitting there in this dark, and this gentleman came in and sat down beside me on the other side, and he kept crowding me. He kept kind of leaning over the arm piece into me, and he pressing his leg against mine, and I kept scooching over closer and closer to my mother. And I don't know for the life of me why I didn't say, quit it, move over, or tell my mother. And when she got up to go smoke a cigarette, I said, I'll go with you. And she said, no, that's okay. You can sit here. You won't miss the movie. And I said, no, I want to go with you. And I went outside, and then I told her what was happening. And by the time they got the people to go back in the movie and look for the gentleman, he had disappeared, knowing what I was up to. So why couldn't I just look over at him and say, stop it, you're on my side, you're pushing against me, don't do that? Was it some sort of respect for older people, you just don't do that? When do children learn, when do we teach them to say things like that to elders, to adults, and let it be okay? I had no idea how to defend myself or to ask for help or to even in the movie to make, I didn't want to make a scene, so I didn't say anything to my mother till we got outside. And that's the only time in my life I think I was glad that my mother smoked. And it's a shame that things like that go on in our world today. And that was a long time ago before we knew about pedophiles and there wasn't much going on about things like that in the news. We didn't warn our children. The children weren't taught to be cautious because most people just didn't act that way and didn't behave that way. And this guy would prey on movies and trying to find kids. And I remember on a Saturday morning going by yourself to the movie or going with some friends, and our parents drop us off and pick us up later. That was the norm, and it was quite safe. Well, that's a perfect place to be a victim of some sick-minded person. So I'm kind of getting off on a long streak here. What does it take for us to say no and to honor ourselves? What areas in your life are you doing something that you don't want to do? And maybe you love the person that's asked you to do it, and you're just doing it out of your respect for them. But you really want to be honest and say, you know, I'd rather do anything but that. I just don't want to do that. It's not one of my talents. It's not something I'm enjoying. I don't have time for it. And instead we say, okay, and burden ourselves, and then you do it with regret, remorse. And can you just feel the energy and the heaviness of that? You become the victim. So don't let yourself get into a place of becoming a victim. Speak your truth. You can discuss things. You know, they may say, well, you need to get out of your comfort zone. Well, maybe you do and maybe you don't. And maybe that's just not a way you want to get out of your comfort zone. So be your authentic self. Be honest with yourself. The hardest thing for me to do is ask my daughter and Jack where they want to go eat, because they'll just say, oh, I don't care anywhere. But they really do care, because if I mention somewhere they don't like to go, they tell me they don't like that. But they won't pick a place. And we could drive around all day before I could get them to pick where they want to go. So I have learned just to go ahead and have several places in mind and pick it and wait till they finally say, okay, yeah, that's right. Some days they're in a hurry and they want to go somewhere where they can go to a drive-thru and not have to go inside. But the only way I know that is I mention a place where you go inside and they say, well, I'm kind of in a hurry and I have this and that to do. Can we go through a drive-in, a drive-by order, drive-in and order, eat in the car, our little quickie hamburger places. So being honest with yourself and being in integrity. All right. Today is a good day to find more ways to love yourself. When we started, I was looking for a song to play, and I picked Love Who You Love by Rascal Flatts. And it was a really cute song, and I thought, how appropriate for Valentine's Day to play Love Who You Love. And who do you love, and how do you say I love you, and have you told them lately that you love them? I got up this morning and I have the Jacqueline Larson cards, email, e-cards, and she always has cute Valentine cards. I forgot to do it last night, so I sent about 15 to friends of mine just to let them know I'm thinking about them. And didn't get cards to send, so I just did it a different way. And then I called a few people. You know, when do we take time to call? So what are you doing today to bring more love in your life? And, you know, they tell you if to give what you want most in your life. If someone else isn't giving it to you, give it to yourself. Give yourself what you want, expect to receive from others. And so I am going to pick my own Valentine's today, and I am picking the good-looking, robust, flat-bellied, athletic boys that coach my grandson baseball. And he has a practice tonight, and the coach told him the other night, now it's Valentine's Day, and I'm going to miss my Valentine's to be at practice with you, so you all bring me candy and chocolate, okay? So that's where I got the idea to make the muffins. And I am picking my Valentines. I'm going to ask them to be mine for a day when you're 74 years old, you can get away with doing things like that. And I'm taking them muffins, and I can't wait, and I'm going to say I do accept hugs. So I'll let you know next month how many hugs I got for Valentine's Day. You know, I'm actually excited about giving. Being of service and doing something for someone else is very pleasurable. And I think that's one thing I love about the clay business. I always have little samples in my car or my pocket. And if I see somebody with a cut or a kid with acne or something, I'm just not above going up and saying, here, take this and put this on your face tonight, or put it on that burn or that cut. What happened to your hand? Try some of this. I noticed you're limping. What happened? I did that one day. A lady said she had jammed her toe in her exercise class 6 weeks before and was still limping. And I told her to take clay home and smother that toe. And we were at a trade show, and she was in the booth across from us. And she did, in proper foot up for 15 minutes. And the next day she was back wearing high heel boots. She wasn't limping at all. She said the pain went away immediately. The swelling went down, and it was absolutely amazing. She sent more people to our booth. And I've always said, I don't have to sell the clay. My goal is to get it in people and on people, and the clay will sell itself by the results it gets, by how good you find, how quickly you heal, just the wonderful results you get from it. So it's an easy thing, and it's a fun thing just to carry some in my pocket and always have something to give people. I love giving. It brings me great joy. I resent being told I have to give here and there. I tie it to all sorts of sources of my spiritual growth. I tie it to my church, but I also tie it to waitresses that do a good job, and sometimes to waitresses who do a bad job. They may be having a hectic day, and if you tip them big and they know they didn't give you good service, does that land a message for you? Would that make an impression on you? I would think so. How can you serve today? How can you go out and do something loving and kind for someone else? And it's in giving that we receive. So I hope you're willing to be a child again. I hope this little session has brought you some joy. When you're in joy, the acidity isn't boiling up in your stomach. You can't hold two things at one time. You can't hold worry and happiness. If you're happy and doing something you love, it overrides it overrides pain, it overrides things. You know, I've seen many kids that were sick or hurting or did something, and then the minute the other kids started playing, they totally forgot about their little pain or ache and went back to playing. But a minute before, it was just a tragic, big, dramatic event for them. And how quickly, when we have something we want to do offered to us, do we forget about the aches and pains and just get well and go on and do what we want to do? We don't let it hold us back. So have a no-hold-back month. I wish you all a very, very happy Valentine's. Thank you for sharing my day with me in this teleseminar. And do remember to check the email that Cheryl will send out. It will have the recipe on there. It will also have the poem for no reason. For no reason, I started skipping like a child. So go out and have a no reason day. Be a leaf and float up and kiss the face of the sun. I'm wishing you all love, joy, and happiness. Thank you for joining me, and have a wonderful Valentine's Day. This is Perrier signing out.